Johnson.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
Well, I am back with Sportsaholics episode number 106. Guys, I'm kind of sad to tell you this, but Eric has to retire from the show. Eric actually is just hired as a staff writer on a new sports show. It's on the Audience Network. I know here in Southern California, it's channel 1114 in HD. If you want to just go regular non-HD, then you're looking at 114. But anyway, he's a staff writer on the show. It just came out. It's called Fair Game, hosted by Brock Everett. It's like a Tosh.0 meets the Soup kind of sports show. I think it's on its third or fourth week. So listeners, set the DVRs. It's Tuesday night, I believe, at 8 or 10 o'clock. But again, that's the Audience Network. So if you have AT&T UVerse, I know they've got that channel, and I'm pretty sure DirecTV does as well. But just look it up, and I know you can catch some of the episodes online. So Eric, congratulations on that. A much better paying gig than Sportsaholics, I assure you that. But Eric actually would be here on this episode, except for he's in Montreal right now with The Roast Battle, which is a show we've mentioned over the years. The creator, Brian Moses, we've had on the show over the years. Well, now this show has continued to grow and is now debuting on Comedy Central. So not only am I going to ask you to watch Fair Game with Brock Everett, but set your DVRs. The Roast Battle, live from Montreal Comedy Festival with our good friend Brian Moses. Raiders fan, Brian Moses, don't hold that against him. And that's, I believe, throughout the rest of this week here, the last week of July. So look out for that. It's a great show. The first episode already came out, and it was good. And so what I'm saying is, guys, keep it up. We got a lot of people associated with Sportsaholics are doing things that you can watch on TV. Just set your DVRs. And, you know, guys you know about, you know, perfect example, I'm just go with Leslie Jones. You know, I never knew she played college basketball. Had her on a couple years ago. And now she's reinventing Twitter, which is unbelievable. But anyway, all that aside, Eric, congratulations, man. I watched the first episode, loved it. Great seeing your name in print there in the credits at the end. But so, look, since our last episode, episode 105, now this is episode 106. I'm going to call this the Ronaldus Chapman episode for the 106 miles an hour to 108, depending on which day he's throwing. But a lot has gone on. Myself, personally, I attended the High A All-Star Game in Lake Elsinore, California, about, I'd say, an hour, 20 minutes east of L.A., maybe like an hour, about the same distance probably from San Diego, kind of inland there in Southern California. Had a great time there. With any minor league game, it's more of an experience. You know, even though it was an all-star game, it wasn't sold out. You know, it was well attended, but it reminded me of a small town parade. They actually had the vintage cars come out, deliver like it was a prom, like deliver the players on the field, so everyone's happy to show off their cars. And then for some reason they parked them like right outside the stadium. And you know that, like, in most minor league stadiums, that if you get hit, like, a foul ball is going right over the wall and nailing the car. But anyway, all that aside, it was a great time. And I always stress, go. If you can go to minor league games, do it. You're going to see future talent. In this case, high A ball. These are, like, 18, 19 through, like, 22-year-olds. But it was a great time. And I missed it, but the day previous, they had a home run derby at the USS Midway, a battleship here in San Diego, right on the deck of the boat. And so it was, I saw the highlights. It looked pretty sweet. I mean, they just like blasted them. And you can rent Sea-Doos. If you ever go to San Diego, rent a Sea-Doo and take it around in the harbor. It's the best time you'll have. I mean, it's awesome. You can go right up to the boats and under the bridge, everything else. But there was, people down there on their Sea-Doos scooping the balls up and just looked like a great time. So kudos to you, Minor League Baseball, for doing something entertaining for the fans, for a high A, all-star game weekend type thing. So, which was kind of the theme for me, because with the all-star game in San Diego, I went to the Futures game, which was awesome. I only made it to the first 5-6 innings because I was had a show that night with Brody Stevens, Jeff Dye, John Huck, Brant Tobler. Great show at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Thank you, listeners, for coming out. Had a wonderful time. Really funny show. Brody killed it. Periscoped his entire set. So had to cut the Futures game short on that one. And then went back Monday, home run derby, and saw that John Carlos Stanton thing. And that weird Chris Berman. I don't know if you heard it here. I got it queued up here.
Hey, guess what? The buzzer is sounded. In a year that we lost the champ,
he drops this weird down goes Frazier. I'm like, the Muhammad Ali tie-in for no reason at all. What I'm saying is, Chris Berman, I don't know how you've outlasted your cocaine addiction, and I enjoy you. But it was annoying watching, because I taped it. I'm there. I want to go home and watch the broadcast, which, by the way, it was hilarious. They had, some giant 10-year-old kid that was robbing home runs. And Matt Vasgersian was actually the PA announcer at the game. And at one point, he was like, that's two home runs robbed by the giant teenager out in center field. Not that Frazier had a chance, but two of his home runs were actually robbed by a kid who's robbing home runs at the home run derby. But anyway, if you go back and watch that, it was great. But it was weird. I was like, I get it. You guys looked at a map. They were like, oh, that one. Watch out, Encinitas. Oh, you better be on your best behavior out there. The balls are coming. Ooh. Watch out, Torrey Pines. I'm like, okay, we get it. You've been here. You understand. You're familiar with the area. But, can we get some better references than just stuff that's within 20 miles of the stadium, But either way, it's a great time. I recommend if you're going to go to these things, get there early, soak it in. I got there for batting practice, met fans, met a guy, that played a little bit of minor league baseball. You meet people from all over the country. It's a great experience. Let's see what else it was. We got Jason Lawhead on this week, and I called him. I talked to him immediately after the Cavs thing because I wanted to get this fresh from Cleveland fan number one that I know. Jason Lawhead, a hilarious comedian. You've seen him tours all over the country. Works with Bill Burr all the time. Just a really funny guy and a huge sports fan. Which, in fact, he's got his own podcast, Lawhead's Court, if you want to check that out, at Jason Lawhead, I believe, on Twitter, and Instagram, and all that stuff online. Anyway, so tell you what, let's go to break. When we get back, we'll be with Jason Lawhead talking about what it feels like to finally be a world champion after waiting your entire life. And guys, remember, go to onelovely.com, onelovely.com. They got great shirts, a bunch of rare, kind of stuff. They're only going to make 50 of them, so you don't have to walk down the street and see the same person wearing the shirt you're wearing. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm that kind of guy. What I'm saying is go check it out, onelovely.com. They got a lot of great stuff that you'll enjoy. But all right, when we get back, Jason Lawhead. This week it's from the Expanders, good friends of mine. You guys continue success. They're touring all over the country. I know they're up in Oregon here coming up the next couple weeks, but all the songs this week, the Expanders, theexpanders.net. I'm always thinking of-
Alex, and we have the world champion Jason Lawhead with us. How are you? How does it feel to be called a world champion, being a Cleveland guy?
Dude, I'm telling you, what is it? What day is it? Because I slept like 5 hours since the night before the game. Dude, I'm telling you something, man. It's all different. It really is. I just started being able to control the unprovoked crying this morning. Just to break, like they I said, I was telling somebody. I said, you know, that show First 48. They should do a sketch with like Cleveland fans for the first. You've never seen a championship in your lifetime. In the first 48 hours afterwards, you just see all this unprovoked crying. It's unbelievable. That's it's just... like it's crazy. It's like post. It's some like post. Like whatever those post parental parents get sometimes. I don't know.
I think it's like it's sort of a zombie state. I think is kind of what it is for a lot of sports fans, and that you're excited, you're emotionally exhausted. You're at this point. If you're in Cleveland right now, you've high-fived no less than, I don't know, 400 or 500 people. I mean, and just raising your arm that many times, that's a workout for a lot of people in Cleveland. You know, so it's like they're going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted, but I mean, if you go back to last week's episode, listeners, you know what I said. I said LeBron will pull it out, and here we go. LeBron pulled it out. Where does this put? I mean, he's not Jordan, but I mean, I think he's right up there with the best, with the greats now.
This one puts him in a place where I don't even think any of us expected he'd be able to go so quickly. And then the takedown of what this one was is it adds extra layers to it just being a championship in Cleveland. I was telling somebody, it's so ironic for a Cleveland fan, because I'm more than that. I'm a broad sports fan, wide sports fan. So knowing the what it takes and then the numbers and everything else, I'm having a hard time just still getting my arms around the fact that we were down 3-1, never happened. 73 wins, never happened. We had to win three straight against a team that hadn't lost three straight in 3 years, and we had to win three straight against a team that had beaten us 8 of the last 9, going back they took in the finals the year before. Sitting here looking at these numbers, no Draymond Green or Draymond Green, I'm going, this thing is over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over. It's over.
I mean, the Draymond Green thing helped, but guys, you got to listen. That's the rules. That's the rules. If you kick people in the nuts five times, you get eventually. They're saying, "All right, you're done for a game." Yeah. So I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear it.
That didn't change anything. That didn't change anything because the way Cleveland went into that game. Look it. If that would have changed anything, then here's the numbers. If I were going to tell you in Game 7 in Oracle, Draymond Green's going to have 32, and Golden State's going to make 12 more three-pointers than Cleveland, and Draymond Green's going to have 32 points. You're going to say Golden State blowout.
Wait. Was that the Game 7 stats right there?
Game 7, if I were to tell you Draymond Green was going to have 32 points and Golden State was going to have 12 more three-pointers, I think, made than Cleveland,
yeah,
I believe it was.
I'm going to say...
What would you say?
I'm going to say Warriors by 18.
Easy.
Yeah,
but that was the stats, and it didn't happen. So I think even in Game 5, something changed. A switch was flipped by LeBron and Kyrie, and this thing was like, okay, everybody, go do your job. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I think Steve Kerr outsmarted himself. And, you know, I'm not accusing Steve Kerr of anything, but I think he tried to pull some, like, kind of douchey little move. And when Draymond went out, he had this choice. What do? You either augment Spates' minutes, augment Zeal's minutes, and bring Varejão. I think he brings Varejão in, knowing he's still up 3-1. I'm going to bring LeBron's old buddy that he played with in, he didn't play for either team, and he's going to still win a ring. And then now what I'm going to do is I'm going to have him flopping and throwing elbows and agitating guys and just rub it in his face that he's going to lose to a guy that's out on the court with a wig on.
Yeah,
and guess
right.
what? All that did was poke Kevin Love and got him playing harder because Kevin Love was like, listen, dude, I'm overrated, but you stink.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not gonna let you look.
I mean,
plus I'm not gonna make
like
you
they
look,
bat. Look I mean, they have history, right? I mean, they practiced against each other all last year, correct?
Okay.
But I mean, didn't they practice against each other?
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, he knows how to school the dude.
You know, and I think it was kind of I think Kerr did himself a disservice with that strategy, and it came back to bite him in the ass. And Listen, the Cavs, but what LeBron did, 41-41, and then the triple-double numbers he put up at the end of the game seven, I mean, the clincher. I mean, he led every statistical category in the series. The block that he made.
The block.
Is a futuristic Havlicek stole the ball moment in NBA Finals history. It is something that you can't understand, because I'm going to tell you, he blocked that with a minute 53 to go. The game's at 89-89. That's the thing that wins the game.
Absolutely.
That is the,
you know what?
Exactly.
You know what?
I'm telling you.
It immediately reminded me of Tayshaun Prince pinning Reggie Miller on the backboard. That was pretty much, that block ended, was Reggie Miller's career done at that point, you know?
Right.
And they go on, Detroit goes on to win the championship that year.
Right, but that wasn't a finals.
That
was not a game seven finals, because I'm going to tell you something. He keeps it from going 80. That ball goes in the hoop. It's 91-89 Golden State, minute 40 to go. That place is going bananas. That basket Kyrie's got to make looks a whole lot bigger, and that pressure on the ball is a whole lot tighter when you're down two and the place is screaming. Kyrie delivers a dagger, but the real dagger Cleveland delivered was the half-court defense they played on the last four to five possessions of that game, getting the stops, because Golden State never scored again. That missed layup, that block layup at 89-89 is where Golden State stood when they were inbounding the ball and never got a shot off down four. The final was 93-89. And that block, that was the game, man. That was the title. That was like, I'm telling you,
I agree.
That block was Gary Carter's base hit in 86.
This is why I love the finals. So I put up, I'm like, this is the on Facebook, I'm like, this is the LeBron we all knew existed. And you watch him play like this, you're like, man, I mean, why can't you do that every night? Because it's just physically impossible. Your body will break down. But that's what makes the NBA Finals so good, is they do. I mean, whoever wins leaves everything out on the court. And I loved how he fell down, hurt his wrist, hammed that up, like rolled around. I'm sure it hurt, but I mean, just added, you know, tried to give pepper it with a slight Willis Reed type moment, you know, misses the first, makes the second. And then, I mean, the Warriors, they just...
Or you could say Draymond Green mugged him, which he did, but anyway.
Right, yeah. And then you've got my problem with the Warriors is they have no, they just don't value possessions, you know, and so they're real loose with the ball, and that behind the back pass on the sideline that goes out of bounds to Klay Thompson from Steph Curry. You're like, not only was it a bad pass, but the window to make a good pass there is nothing, because it's like you're out of bounds. So it was one of the worst passes I've ever seen, and at the moment where they needed that possession. I mean, that was their whole season right there in that possession. And he goes behind the back over to the assistant coach sitting at the end of the bench with the ball. I mean, I think that actually is also a huge play in your favor. And that's just the Warriors, though. That was their style all year. Quick, up-paced tempo, loose with the ball, alley-oops,
well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you're giving the rest of the league a lot of credit that saying that they care the ball better than Golden State. I think that it's across the board. I think it's one of the most, thing that's gone backwards in whatever evolution of the game they want to say is caring about possessions and the amount of threes that are taken and how many just like, oh well. It's just like, you know, putting a coin in the slot machine. Give me another coin.
Well, it's like, and, I believe it's...
It's like, just give me another coin. Just keep giving me another coin. Well, so, I mean, but yeah, Cleveland did the nice job. And give Tyronn Lue credit. He decided he was going to try to play at a pace where we wanted to score 100. If we didn't score 100, we weren't doing well. In the three games that they lost to us, they scored under 100, and the only other game they lost to us, they scored 101. So we really controlled the tempo. We did a great job of caring about all the possessions, and that's one thing I think LeBron has definitely learned over time. It's something that he learned in Miami big time in the Riley and that type of administration with Ray. You know, they learned how to value those possessions and then be able to increase devaluing other teams by forcing turnovers. So Cleveland has done a nice job of getting themselves to where kind of Miami was with LeBron, in the sense of pushing teams in the half court when they have to, taking advantage of the run. Because, you know, listen, if we're running, any team that's running when they want is a dangerous team. And then if you're running when you want, when you have a guy like LeBron James, that's tough to stop. Transition defense is literally the hardest thing to do when you're playing defense in basketball, especially at that level. You know, my dad coached high school, and it was, transition D is important, stopping the ball, getting in the right lane, because a good team that can run with a guy like that, you're going to just give up points all day long.
Well, I feel a partial connection to you guys, because when I was growing up, I remember watching Tyronn Lue in high school, before he went to Nebraska, play in the Piggly Wiggly shootout in Kansas City against Earl Watson, who is now the Phoenix Suns head coach. So it's weird, like, you know, all these years, I mean, that was probably 20 years ago later, that these guys are now, like, young and now NBA champion head coaches. Do you like Tyronn Lue as a coach moving forward, or are you just like...
I do. How don't you? And, you know, I had definitely questions after that game four loss. We crumbled in the second half at home after being up five at the half. And I looked at some of the things we were settling for. And I even questioned, like, man, I know LeBron is amazing, but we might be looking at the steady, you know, beginning of a decline here. Because, you know, even though he was the first three or four games, he was putting up great stat lines. I wasn't knocking his effort and his play and how good he is. But I thought, wow, you know, he had seven or eight turnovers in that game, a lot in the second half, choosing interesting choices where he passed the ball and when. And I thought, wow, maybe this just isn't a team that's brought together enough, and maybe LeBron just is on the other side of the slide. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
He's been.
And then everything changed. And what impressed me about Lue was he picked up the pace. And got the way the game controlled into the pace that we wanted, and using less guys. I mean, he stopped going to Dellavedova. He stopped going to Channing Frye in the series. He stopped going to guys. I mean, he inserted a little bit of Mo Williams in the last couple games, but that was just for like breathers, man. That was just literally holding the spit bucket. And he was literally holding the spit bucket for the train. Mo Williams is doing it. And Richard Jefferson and Chumford were really the only guys.
Loved the Richard Jefferson.
Richard Jefferson. I mean, what a great.
I mean, that guy. I mean, he saved the series for you guys. I mean, he really did.
He did. Richard Jefferson saved the series, and I'm going to tell you who brought up the rear. I'm going to tell you who pushed the cart back up over the hill in the last couple was J.R. Smith. He played amazing defense at the arc on everybody he was asked to do it on. He was playing the switches and the screens really well. He laid out a few fouls when he was smart and should, and he laid off and just got hands and faces all over, you know, all over the map. When Curry went to the corner, if he was on him or Clay or the wing, he was there. He was over the top of
And he's a big guy.
And then he hit the big shots he was missing early in the series, especially the ones on the road. Game five, game seven, JR hit a few, you know, just when we needed a three in that third quarter. That third quarter, listen, we went 1-for-14 for threes in the first half. And the thing was, is we hit a few in that third quarter, and that's all you needed, man. That was just like we already knew that game was winnable. We were feeling like we were the better team playing at that time, right then and there. And if we could hit the third quarter, you know, we were down 49-42 at the half, down seven, and they were plus 27 from the 3-point line. They had hit 10, we had hit one. And they were plus 27, and I thought, Jesus, they're only down seven. This is really good because, you know, we keep forcing those deep shots. They're settling for it. They've hit a few, but and then that third quarter, man, that third quarter was, and then you know, obviously we just threw a blanket over them in the fourth quarter, and they only scored 13 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, and one of the highlights for me was you guys won was we didn't have to see Steph Curry's daughter make funnies at the press conference, which I really was happy I didn't have to witness that again.
I did this thing on my podcast, and I actually posted a few videos recently because I just went on this riff, and I got a lot of good feedback on this riff that I did. I just started going into this, like, Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a Warriors bandwagon fan if.
Oh, this
and,
is good. I like where this is going.
Yeah, I was just doing stuff like that constantly on a riff. So I like shared a few on my Instagram, but it was just like, if you follow Aisha Curry on Twitter, you might be a bandwagon Warriors fan.
Right, right.
You know, if you think the team was named after the movie, you might be a bandwagon Warriors fan. But, dude, it's just hilarious how many bandwagon ones there are out there. I'm just glad the real, true Cleveland fans. Well, we never have had a bandwagon.
No,
we've we've had fans leave us for bandwagon teams. But
what did you think?
That's Cleveland.
What did you think?
I'm telling you, it's a great feeling. All the fans, Cleveland, the real fans, dude, it's amazing.
Well, where can the listener find you on stage here in Southern California if they're either living or coming out to vacation?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the next like real solid good date that I have, I mean, I'm opening for Sebastian Maniscalco here. I'm doing the Del Mar Fairgrounds July 4th with him. I'm doing the Grove in Anaheim July 9th, and I'm doing the State Sacramento Expo Center over the July 10th with him. I'm heading out to Cleveland in a couple of days, like I said. But yeah, if they go to my website, I'm always updating it, jasonlawhead.com. You can get I got a lot of YouTube videos and different stuff I've done. Some
and
podcasts.
Yeah, Lawhead's Court is awesome
Lawhead's
too.
Lawhead's Court's my podcast, which is all things comedy, and on iTunes or at my website. You can find the links to all those stuff. So, yeah, man, I just did one celebrating the title, and I actually took 3 weeks off to do one because I was superstitious. I have all these old. I did like 4 podcasts that I never posted because I hated. Like I was just like I was so like I don't know what if you know
I get it.
You ever done that? And then you're like, well, what if I? So I talked about game one. I did a preview on game one.
Well,
and then they lost that one, so I'm not even talking about it. They, I fuck it. And then we were down. I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it. We're down 3-1. I'm like, I don't even want to fucking do a play. I don't want to talk about it. Then I would do one. I wouldn't post it. And then finally, I was gonna do one. I actually did one right before game 7 tip off, and I was gonna post it like a couple hours before just to tell people like, hey, this is a preview, hopefully, you know. And then I'm like, I don't want to do that, that's gonna jinx it. I just literally came up with like 7 jinx ideas.
No, I mean I do that, but not with other things. It's for me it's a constant thing. So I mean like right now I've got several jinx proof things currently going on in my life. So
yeah, that's hilarious. That's how I live too.
You know what the best part of that actually, what I enjoyed the most is when LeBron steps off the plane and he's wearing a goddamn Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. I mean, was that not the best backhand to the Warriors franchise?
It's like,
I mean, whose idea was that? I mean, brilliant. Ultimate Warrior t-shirt? Fantastic.
He's great. He's great, man. He's a great dude. You know, obviously we all, not all of us, but I was a hater when he was in Miami,
yes,
of course, just for everything. And there's no reason. I don't take that back. Just like he said, I like if I had to write a letter about his coming back to us, just like he said, I went to Miami. I did it the wrong way, but I'm not sorry that I went. Good. And I'm glad that he said that, because if he would have said, I wish I would have never went, I would have known he was lying. That's the thing I love the most about the letter. That sentence was the one that stood out to me when he was like, I went there, you know, I wish I would have did it differently, but I'm not sorry that I went. It was a big experience. And I was like, you know what? Good. Because if he would have just tried to be like this, like, oh, no, I should have never went. That's the dumbest thing. I didn't want to. You know, I would have been like, yeah, he's lost.
Well, plus,
but
Andy wouldn't have Kyrie Irving.
And I can say, hey, yeah, I hated you. And I thought, you know, and I don't take it back. I don't take it back. I said on my podcast, like, you know, sad my life down for a while. I would vehemently root for the Pacers. I was like, I hate it. I was like, there was a 2-year point in my life where I was rooting for the Pacers, and I would get mad like they were my favorite team. Like, I would scream at George Hill on the TV. I was screaming at George Hill.
You're like, God damn it, Hibbert. What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, just calling Hibbert a piece of shit. Get your ass off the court. I mean, that's all I did for 2 years.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, okay, listeners, Lawhead's Court podcast, I highly recommend it. You can find it on all things comedy, which is a great podcasting network in general, which is,
man,
guess what? All things comedy. And then also go to jasonlawhead.com and check him out, you know, in California when you're coming out here, and then in Cleveland if you're listening to this weekend. But Jason, man, congratulations again on being a world champion, man. I'm just gonna greet you as world champion for the next year,
right? I'm gonna go on stage as Peter Freelander.
Well, hey, man. Thanks a lot and congratulations.
Thank
and,
you. Thank you, Colin. I appreciate it.
I'll see you soon, all right?
Have fun with that.
Top shelf, call it weed. Real to survive. High grade, call it weed. Just arrive. Even the army just stop trouble. All the soldiers off to slope up. The officer live to get wiser. Make all the farmers so marijuana. Yes. Sensitive free. Yeah.
God, it's one happy man. It's weird because now, you know, I live in downtown San Diego, and that it's now the longest current city with the longest drought. And I'm like, yeah, that does suck. But then you look around, you're like, you know what? It's San Diego. So if there's a city to have a sports drought in, it's not a bad. There's Buffalo, but you know what I'm saying? Buffalo has it way worse than San Diego. I mean, Buffalo is essentially Canada's Tijuana. Buffalo and Montana are Canada's Tijuana. Let's see here. What else you want to go into? You know what? Actually, so with the comedy show in La Jolla at the Comedy Store, it was a great turnout. We had, you know, close to 100 people, and the audience was great, ready to laugh. Had a lot of fun. It was stress free because as soon as I got there was already a crowd forming, and that was an hour before the show. And of course, at Eat a Burrito, Don Carlos, you know, helped with the promotion. Seize the Day Boat Rental helped with the promotion. You know, it's like a lot of good people were involved. So, aside from the comedians. So, but what I wanted to do, since, you know, those of you on the East Coast, wherever, not in California, that weren't there, if you're not familiar, I found John Huck's appearance on This Is Not Happening. So, this is Ari Shaffir's show on Comedy Central, which I'm assuming will be back for a third season, just because it's a funny show. But he was on, I believe, season one, whatever it was. So anyway, comedycentral.com found this clip. But I'm gonna go and just play this. This is John Huck, who was on the show, actually been on Sportsholic several times, huge diehard Cubs fan. This is a great story about John Huck and Oktoberfest.
This Is Not Happening presents One Crazy Night. So this is what we do. We're a bunch of comedians, tell stories about a similar subject. So this is just One Crazy Night.
Give it up for my friend and yours, Mr. John Huck, everybody.
Here we go for Ari. Well, you know, I'm like every other kid. My parents were all right. They weren't well off, but they did okay. And I got a bunch of money when I graduated. And I was like, oh, you know what I want to do with this money? I want to go to the biggest party that serves the most beer in the entire world. And this, my friend goes, yeah. That's Munich, Germany for Oktoberfest. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to go to Munich, Germany. I want to go to Oktoberfest, and I want to drink all the beer that's there. That's what I want to do. That's my plan. Eventually, we got to Oktoberfest for the very last weekend in Munich, Germany. We don't have any real money, so we get a campsite. We go to a campsite, pay the money. We find a little space we can call our own. We set up a tent, and it starts to rain. So we're like, oh, it's raining, it's starting to get really cold, and the only place you could get shelter in the whole campsite was at this little cement slab picnic table, had the roof, and then it had a vending machine that sold liter bottles of Löwenbräu. Yeah, pretty fucking awesome. And I'm, you know, I can drink like 12 Miller Lights, no problem. There's like 12 Miller Lights in every liter bottle of Löwenbräu. But I have like 3, 4, 5 of these liter bottles of Löwenbräu. And all of a sudden, like, a bus pulls up. And they're like, yep, time to go to the festival. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the festival right here. We're not leaving this. The beer comes out of here. Why would we leave this? I want to be with this machine for the rest of my life. But they're like, no, you can bring the beer with you. Get another one and bring it on the bus. I'm like, oh, yeah, we drink on the bus. Fuck it. No laws. All right, Germany. No laws? A lot of laws. A lot of laws. Serious laws. But I get on the bus with my two idiot friends, and we're drinking beers. And it's like I said, a 30-minute bus ride. We're like, yeah, all right, the festival's great. Woo, bus ride. get to the actual festival, we just kind of, me and my friends just kind of tack onto this group that we're with that was from our campsite, and we just follow them right to the Hofbräuhaus tent. And I just, and it was everything you'd ever expect. It was like, you know, an Oompa band is playing. There's like tiny women with huge boobs running around with a lot of steins. Everyone's got a sausage. Fucking French fries are everywhere. It's a good time. It's fun, right? And we kind of get a table and we just start cheersing and singing and drinking beers. We do this for a couple of hours. We're having the best time, as far as I know, right? At about 11 o'clock at night, all the lights in the tent go up. And they're like, well, festival's over. Gotta get out. And this is when I decide to turn into a super classy American guy. I'm like, 11 o'clock, you guys are fucking pussies. This is how you drink? Making fun of everybody I see. Until like security is like, get him out of here. So my friends are like, yeah, get out of here. So they shove me kind of through the big giant flap of this circus tent that we're under. And I black out. When I finally come to, I'm like slowly noticing that I'm in the middle of downtown Munich by myself. Like my friends, I don't know where my friends, I don't know anybody who I was drinking with, I don't know, nobody's around me, I'm by myself. And as I'm kind of coming to, I'm also noticing that I have to take the biggest shit of my life. And I think I did what any of us would do when you have to go to the bathroom. I just started randomly banging on doors. And I only know like two German words. So I was yelling one of the German words. And I'm like, Scheiße! 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 Banging on the door. And oddly enough, nobody answered the door and was like, oh, strange American, you need to poop? All right. Bathroom's down the hall. So I'm banging on doors. Nobody's opening the doors. And I'm like, let's be honest. I mean, it's nature. It has to come out, right? It's not stopping. It's not, I can't hold it in anymore. So I'm like, well, I need to fix this. So I kind of spy an alley. So I kind of run down the alley and I'm like, all right, no one's around. I haven't seen a human being for a long time. I kind of drop trow. I don't kind of do anything. I drop trow. And I start to do my business all over a little pile of bricks there that is just in the alley for whatever reason. And it's angry business. Angry business. Like, super angry business. Lowenbrow went in super fast and it wants out even faster. I swear to God, that beer has a fist. That's all I'm gonna say about it. So I'm full on in the middle of my business, and as I'm like, you know, you get the sweat, you're sweating with relief, like, oh, thank God, I'm getting this out of my body. This is the greatest feeling ever. And as I'm like feeling relief, but kind of look to my left, and I notice a couple holding hands. On a nice leisurely stroll into the German night. And I can't stop what I'm doing. And the only way out of the alley is to walk past me. And the alley is like, from me to you. It's not a big alley. It's an alley. So I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do about this? So I do what I, again, what any of us would do. I took the jacket that I had taken off and I put it over my head. And all I'm thinking in my head is, please don't be from America. Please don't be from, just be from Germany. You'll think this is like porn. I don't know what, like, this would be great if you're from, you won't care. Like, please be from, don't be from America. And I got the jacket over my head, and I can hear them walking closer and closer. And then I can pinpoint the exact area where they were like, realize what they were looking at. And I hear the girl in like a perfect Naperville, Illinois accent go, oh my God, that's the sickest thing I've ever seen. The guy just goes, bleh. And they run off down the alley like freaking out. And I got my jacket over my head and I'm still in the middle of what I'm doing. And I just yelled out the only other German word I know. I'm like, nine, nine, nine. Because I figured, you know, they're going to think I'm German. And, oh, that's just German people. Hey, pooping in the alley. So they're finally gone. I take the jacket off my head and, you know, I finish up, leave my underwear as a DNA sample, and I move on down the road. And I think what the only reason I came out of my blackout was because of that ferocious shit. And once it was gone, I blacked out again. When I come to the next time, it's probably a couple hours later. I don't know, really. Not good with time, obviously. I'm standing, I come to, I'm like, what? I'm standing in like a marble, a beautiful bathroom. Marble countertops, gold faucets, a waterfall. It's the best bathroom you could ever hope to poop in. At this point, I don't have to poop. So I'm standing there, I'm like, why? Where was this place like an hour and a half ago? Come on, really? And I get mad at myself for not finding the bathroom earlier. And then I'm like, that's okay. I have to find my campsite. I need to find where my friends are. I need to not end up in a German prison. These are the thoughts running through my head. So I'm like, well, I don't know how I got into this bathroom. I don't know where this bathroom is located, but I need to get out. So as I'm pushing out through the bathroom door, I catch a glimpse of myself in a full-length mirror. And I can see at this point that I'm not wearing shoes. I don't have any socks on. I'm not wearing pants. And we all know where my underwear is at. So I'm standing there in a long sleeve t-shirt with my money belt around my neck and a fucking Grateful Dead hat on. So I panic. I start looking around the bathroom for my pants. I'm dumping over garbage cans. My pants aren't there. My shoes aren't there. My socks aren't there. I have no idea what the fuck happened to them. To this day, still don't know. But I did, again, what any one of us would have done. Pulled my shirt down over my dick. And I pushed through the door into the lobby of a 5-star hotel. About 4 in the morning at this point, I think. I kind of just walk through the lobby. People are checking in like, what is this? Getting very angry with the guy at the desk. And the guy at the desk is like, hey, hey. And I'm just like, no, just using the bathroom, thanks. I walk out, push out right onto the sidewalk. I'm out in the street. I'm like, okay, gotta figure this out quick. My ass is in the breeze. I'm just barely covering my cock. I'm like, this is not good. I'm like, I have to get underground. I have to get to the metro station. I have to get underground. I cannot be on the public streets. So I go into the metro station. Train pulls up, packed. Packed with people in winter coats, winter hats, going to work, miserable fucking... Germany's not that different from here. Everyone hates their fucking job and fuck this. I step onto the train. It was literally like stepping onto a train of 1,000 of my dad's. It was like... Look at this fucking moron. I run off the train. I run up the escalator. I turn right, and it is a gravel path with super tall grass on each side. I get to where I can finally see my campsite, and it takes me another 40 minutes to find the tent that I'm supposed to be in. And I'm talking 40 minutes of like, all right. Like bothering the shit out of everyone at this campsite. I find my tent. I open it up. My two idiot friends are in there like, sleeping like babies, right? And I'm like, oh, I hate you. I get into my sleeping bag. I go to sleep. I'm like, oh, thank God, this is over. About an hour and a half later, I get woken up. My friend's just shaking me. He's like, hey, 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 what happened to you last night, man? We had the craziest time. Jim fell asleep on the Löwenbräu bus, and I almost lost my shoe riding the swings. I travel with classy, classy dudes. My buddy Jim has peed his pants the night before. And he's taken his urine-soaked jeans and he's draped them over the tent. Exactly. And he too has left the tent. So now I'm in a tent, the sun is coming up, I'm there by myself, it's hitting the pee pants smell is coming into the tent, I'm like, ugh, this is gross, I gotta get out of this tent. Both the flaps of the tent were closed, I get the screen flap open, right, okay? I get the second thing open, I get one hand out of the tent, and as I'm doing that, I hear a guy walk into the middle of the circle. And they're like, oh, hey man, how you doing? He's like, hey, and I hear this guy, hey, Dave, what's happening? He's like, oh, not much. How was your night last night? That was pretty good. What'd you do? Me and my girlfriend went out for a walk. What'd you see? We saw the grossest fucking thing ever. And he proceeds to describe me to a T. Just this dude pooping all over a pile of bricks, put a fucking jacket over his head. Didn't think we noticed him. I was like, and sip. And I said, content all day playing Game Boy. Guys, I'm John Huck. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, so there you have John Huck. And like I said, the guy is hilarious, and he's touring all over the country. I think it's just John, JohnHuck.com, obviously on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But very, very happy to have him on the show. He's a Cubs fan, so he's very excited now that he's got Rodolphus Chapman, got a nice bullpen. Rondon can just kind of come in as needed when they're up by like 20 runs or whatever. He's kind of had a subpar season himself. But anyway, John, good luck the rest of the year. Thanks for doing the show. All right, so guys, recap real quick before we get out of here. Roast Battle, Comedy Central, set your DVRs, please. Roast Battle, that's the last week of July this week. It'll be coming up, I think, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And then also, every Tuesday, Fair Game on the Audience Network, hosted by Brock Everett, our man, our boy, Eric Marino, co-host of Sportsaholics, now writing on the show. So if you want to see, or I guess hear, some of his work, tune in to Fair Game Tuesday night. 8 p.m., I'm going to say. But again, just tape it. Set your DVRs. Watch it. Very funny show. Guys, hey, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks again for listening. Leaving, I'm going to play. I popped into one of the local radio stations down here in San Diego to help promote the show. Had a great time. And so, get an exit with that. But guys, stay obsessed. Until next time.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
First of all, let's get the stats away because we're talking sports.
So we got do stats.
Stats would be 8 p.m. Yeah. Sunday night. 21 and over. I'm sorry for you, all of you underage.
Oh, man.
Man, that's us.
I'm 19. I can't come.
Oh, man.
It's unfortunate. You got a great show.
Yeah.
Headline. We were talking off air. Brody Stevens.
I love Brody.
HBO.
He's nuts.
Galifianakis.
That guy's nuts.
Comedy Central.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Jeff Dye, who's got a show coming out. He's got a show on NBC coming out where he runs around with William Shatner and George Foreman.
Oh, you need to do that.
Yeah. I was like, that sounds like a good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Going
to China.
Yeah.
John Huck, HBO, Brant Tobler tours all over the country, and of course, my hilarious self.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
And you guys have one thing in common, is that you guys are all baseball fans.
Massive baseball fans. We got John Huck's a Cubs guy. We got Brody from the Valley. I'm a Kansas
City guy. He's a Dodgers guy, right?
Huge Dodgers.
Also, you got bragging rights right now.
Yeah, kind of. We've been slumped.
Well, maybe not this year, but you have the ring.
Yeah, right.
You got the ring.
No. You know? Yeah, exactly.
You got
exactly.
Punch out rights though.
Yeah.
Casey's been punching everybody. It's great.
It's all Ventura. So one guy.
Yes.
Like, here's my, if we're playing against you and you have a bobblehead, like, we will hit you.
You deserve it.
If everyone at the game's getting a mini trophy of you, you're going to get hit by one of our pitchers. But no, the show came about because we're all baseball fans. And I was like, guys, baseball, the heart of baseball is going to be in San Diego. Let's do something. Let's get into the action and... Like you said, the hardest ticket in town, try to get to that home run derby on Monday. And,
that's crazy.
But the doors open at 7:30. There's more information at, just
Comedy Store.
Just Google.
Yeah.
Or Bing.
Comedy Store.
Whatever
you want to
do. Yeah, we tweeted it out, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we got it.
There you go.
It's exciting, and I've personally never been. Participated in an All-Star.
Any All-Star
really?
Stuff?
Yeah, so yeah. I'm kind of excited.
Me too.
See, growing up as a Royals fan in Kansas City, we won the World Series, but there were so many years where...
I was bad.
You would show up to the game, and you would have your six-pack, and then by the fourth inning, you would still not be in the game. You would be in the parking lot, and then you would be over. So in Kansas City, we share stadiums, like Qualcomm here, or Jack Murphy, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So then we would end up on the other side of the Chiefs Stadium with our golf clubs, just smashing our beer bottles into the woods. And then once that finished, that would be the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And we're like, well,
are you ready? Or?
Why should we go in? We're only down 12.
Yeah.
We would head.
It's a tough year.
So, being a Royals fan had to be tough.
That, you know what? I've got a lot of advice to Padres fans. Yeah, hold on, and just be careful. The Padres games I have gone to this year were exciting, but that might have had something to do with the 3 or 4 bars I stopped in.
Okay.
But you know what? The Padres fans are great. And
listen, it all comes around.
It does.
Eventually.
It just takes time.
And San Diego is a great baseball city. There's a lot of history here. I mean, you guys got Ted freaking Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have been down to Lane Field downtown. They restored. It's the original Pacific Coast League Padres location.
Oh, yeah.
It's right down by the Midway, and they reconstructed the original home plate pitcher's mound with bricks. It's really nice. And in fact, Ted Williams hit the recorded longest home run in baseball history at that field in 1936.
Crazy.
Only because it landed in a boxcar and ended up in Los Angeles.
Oh, there you go.
This is a great baseball town. I'm really glad you guys got the All-Star game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good
stuff. Well, that's the thing about our town is that when we have a winner, we're the greatest place to be.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have a big event like this, everybody wants to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why everybody's freaking out about it.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, you get 5 national headliners, and these guys in any given night are in all corners of the country performing at major clubs.
Sure.
So to get them all, you know, it takes a special event like the All-Star game to kind of get everybody in one room at the same time.
Yeah.
And the tickets are only $10. That's the other thing.
That's great.
So, I mean, really, you're getting a lot of good bang for your buck, comedically.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, even if you're not a baseball fan, it's still a comedy show. Yeah, we're going to probably, you know, I'll talk about how bad the Royals were.
Yeah.
You know, John, talk about how long that Cubs drought's been. But it's not just, let's talk about, you know,
baseball.
It's a great comedy.
You're doing your act.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we saw Brody. We went up to the big Will Ferrell / Red Hot Chili Peppers show that they put on in L.A. A couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And Brody randomly stopped in
and
jumped in on the set and then was like
part of it.
He was like the sideline reporter or something. Like, he was in the audience. He's great, man. Brody, he's been in here before. He's a ton of fun.
Oh, so you guys are all familiar with Yes. See, that what I just said there, Yes, that is the most impersonated thing in Hollywood.
Is that right?
Brody's voice is like goes on. People don't even know it's him now, just because so many people do his impression.
They're doing the Brody impression.
Brody is the best, and I'm just happy to work with him.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun show, man.
I know he palled around for years with Galifianakis, and you know did HBO stuff.
That's awesome.
No, he's a great guy. So we're going to see you there Sunday night.
No doubt, man.
See, I feel bad inviting, because I know you guys have very, very early mornings or late nights.
Right.
I don't know what
No, we wake up very early.
Yeah.
If that's your preference, that's fine.
Yeah.
See, I'm from Missouri,
I'm old now, so
when I do radio there, you know, I assume there's meth involved.
You know, summer, yeah, right. That's a great assumption.
Yeah, it's Missouri.
It's a safe assumption to me.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in the day.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh, come on. We're totally on cocaine now.
Here's a random sports fact. I played against Darren Sprawls in high school.
Get out of here.
I did.
Really?
I did. I say play. I mean, I was on the field.
Yeah.
There was no touching or
tackling
of any part.
Yeah.
But to watch a 15-year-old that's 5 foot
and he was the same size, probably.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just at a 15-year-old scale. But,
man,
can you believe that guy's still in the league now?
He's so good.
Seriously. I mean, at this point, I'm just holding on because it makes me feel young. I'm like
you have a shot.
That I knew is still in the NFL.
Like, you have a shot?
Yeah. I play some wiffle ball.
Yeah. All you need is a shot, man.
Yeah. That's what dodgeball's for.
Right?
Agile. You never know.
Dodgeball.
Are you into other sports, too, or just baseball?
Man, you know what? I actually played football in high school.
Yeah.
And baseball.
So do you go with the Chiefs? Are you a Chiefs guy?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, Charger fans
right
are going like that, bro.
It's tough.
Hey, they finally won a playoff game.
23 years later.
Yeah. It took some time, but they did it.
Believe me, I've got love in my heart for Natron Means, man.
He means business.
That, you know, he was the second generation Christian Okoye.
Nah.
You know, because Christian Okoye came into the league and said, this is how you run people over.
Mm-hmm.
And Natron Means said, okay, I'll take that, and I'll do that for another 5 seasons.
It's tough being in our town. As great as our city is, and as beautiful as it is, as far as sports goes, we're now the next losingest city. Like, Cleveland finally got their championship.
I know.
And now we're the big losers.
And was it Spanos or whatever?
Yeah.
You know the problem with that whole thing is he didn't marry into the Walton family. If you marry into Walmart money, you don't have to worry about
just
it.
Build your own
just
stuff.
Stay wherever you
are. Yeah, yeah.
It's his father's fault for only making $4 billion instead of $8 billion.
Dang it, man.
You know what?
Yeah.
So if his dad would have made some better... you know, life investments choices. Back in the 80s,
yeah.
You guys wouldn't be worried about the Chargers.
Well, they better not. Yeah.
I don't think they're. I don't think they do.
Well, especially with the rivalry that, you know, has been there. Can you imagine, like, that whole thing would be erased, basically. I hate that.
I mean, and I don't want to go to Vegas to watch the Chargers. You know, the Raiders.
Aww.
Yeah, it's weird.
Raiders.
It's
you, guys
weird.
You guys don't want the Raiders down here?
Yeah.
No.
See, I don't know about that.
Okay, stop.
Really?
I don't hate the Chargers. I have nothing against them. Right. I'm just born and raised a Giants fan. I'm from New York, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so whatever. So seeing the Raiders down here would be great because they have a really good team. And they're going to be good in the next 10 to 15 years, barring a crazy injury. So why not? The Raiders bring a Super Bowl to San Diego, am I right?
So see, this is
am
smart.
Am I right?
Any team could potentially be good in the next 10 to 15
years. Oh,
right. That's what I'm saying. They have a quarterback.
They
have
do.
The biggest
they
key
one.
That you need is a young, good quarterback. So as long as they have that, we could be SD Raiders win the Super Bowl.
I'm literally
Super Bowl 56.
If I could change the radio,
you got a good quarterback. Yeah. You got a loyal fan base full of batteries in their pockets.
I don't want them.
Small knives.
I don't want them.
Small knives.
Dart bottle.
And they got a good receiver.
Yeah.
Good defense.
Shut up.
Come on.
You shut up. We're the home of the Chargers, dude.
Yeah,
That's right. This is bad karma.
Yeah, you're sorry. You're stupid.
Stop it.
Spanos, if you're listening, don't do it. Come on.
No, keep him here.
You know, we'll fight for the stadium.
He's trying now. That's what we're doing.
We'll build a stadium in Coronado Bay. It'll float on the water.
That would be amazing.
We'll just wield a couple barges, weld a couple barges together, and bam.
You surf on up, watch the game.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, now we're getting crazy.
I like this, John.
Listen,
my mind is wild and, you know, maybe full of
free marijuana.
THC.
Yeah, there you go.
We understand.
There's residue from last night.
Come check out the big show, the All-Star Comedy Show for All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
John and crew will be out there, La Jolla Comedy Store, this Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
And you said tickets are only $10?
Yeah, they're only $10.
Can't beat it.
Kind of limited seating. There's only seating for about 180 in there, and so tickets are going
quick.
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
So just remember, it is 21. We don't like it when you come down, you can't get in. So 21 and up.
Yep.
Bring your friends.
I was going to bring my baby.
Darn it.
That sucks.
The doors, I think, are 7:30.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome, man.
Cool.
Well, good luck with the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on,
good,
guys.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Are you a UFC fan?
I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling with the anti-NFL concussion, but yet at the same time, we're so pro beat the crap out of this guy.
That's great.
It's confusing.
It's great.
And then it's like, is that 20% gay? Because it kind of looks like
sometimes.
I think that's why I watched John. 20% of me loves
word.
Me.
Word.
No, there was a big deal. Their UFC 200 is happening on Saturday, so this is the biggest card of all time.
Yeah.
Yesterday, huge news. John Jones got pulled from the card, the main event. And then what's going to happen with Daniel Cormier? Well, they have an answer. He has somebody who he's going to fight. We'll tell you who it is next in Sports Dirt.